During the last flood, the water destroyed all the crops, destroyed the maize, rice, and beans. The water flooded everything.
Climate changes have greatly affected us. To water our plots, we had to walk up to an hour to reach the river and draw water.
Women in rural areas in countries such as Haiti and South Africa, like the ones we just heard, have a special relationship with nature. They contribute to the well-being and sustainable development of their communities and are guardians of ecosystems and biodiversity. From collecting water and firewood, working the land, and foraging for food in rivers and reefs, women across the planet interact with natural resources daily. They are also often the primary caregivers, responsible for ensuring food security and the well-being of their families. Because of all this, women are also the first to feel the effects of climate change.
Climate change is a big challenge for us. We used to harvest 700 kilograms of grain, but now it's only 200 kilograms.
From Nepal to Palau, from Tanzania to Guatemala, and across all low and middle income countries, farmers, especially women farmers, are facing worse and worse challenges due to the changing climate. When climate-related disasters strike, the burden on these women intensifies as they struggle to meet the needs of their households. But while rural women are at the forefront of the impacts, they are frequently overlooked in climate discussions and policy responses. Until recently, no study had attempted to measure the monetary costs they face because of heat stress and floods, but a groundbreaking FAO report called The Unjust Climate has, for the first time, revealed empirical evidence of how climate change is disproportionately affecting the incomes of rural women. Lauren Phillips is the Deputy Director of FAO's Rural Transformation and Gender Equality Division.
So we've known for some time that climate change is a major challenge for poor people, and particularly for women. It's a challenge for women because they can't easily adapt to climate change as men can, because they don't have as much access to resources, to assets, to services that would allow them to adapt to the challenges that a changing climate poses. Yeah, so what is unique about this report is that it's really quantified using a large data set the amount of losses that female-headed households and women farmers are suffering from climate change. So for example, from heat stress, women are losing 8% more income annually than male-headed households. Or due to flooding, they're losing 3% more income.
And this means a lot of money. In the case of heat stress or excessive exposure to high temperatures, for example, it means that female-headed households are losing together $37 billion a year more than men. That is more than the total GDP of a nation like El Salvador, to give you some perspective.
The problem with climate change is it's not stopping, it's accelerating. If climate change increases by another 1 degree Celsius, female-headed households could lose 34% of their income compared to male-headed households. It's an absolutely huge loss for families that are already suffering from poverty and having trouble having adequate and healthy amounts of food for their families every day.
But what exactly makes women more vulnerable when a climate disaster strikes?
So a woman, for example, may not have irrigation on her farm. Women are much less likely to have access to that irrigation. And so you can imagine a female farmer who doesn't have water on her plot of land, and maybe she also didn't receive new seeds, which would have helped her prevent losses from drought. And so she's working harder, she's working longer, she's doing an extra hour of work a day compared to a male farmer in order to try to, you know, adapt to climate change. But the truth is that without the access to those kinds of assets and technologies, she just may not be able to keep up with the changing climate. On average, women spend 4 hours a day on unpaid domestic and care work, whereas men spend less than two. It means that the climate can also be an additional burden for gathering water, gathering wood, or for any other kinds of care duties which are required to keep a farming household running.
And the disparities don't end there. Women have fewer rights to own land than men, usually earn less for their work in agri-food systems, and have less access to financing and technology.
But on top of all of this, there's also persistent discriminatory social norms that women and girls face in agri-food systems, which maybe constrain how much they can work outside the home or how far they can travel to do their work. And so when you combine these material gaps and inequalities with discriminatory social norms, it becomes very hard for women to achieve and to have the same level of outcomes in agri-food systems as men.
Despite these challenges, rural women are not just victims of climate change. They are also agents of resilience and adaptation. They possess valuable knowledge and skills passed down through generations, which are essential for coping with environmental changes.
CEFEO was working in coordination with other UN agencies on the ground in all sorts of countries to implement projects which provide better training and capacity building for women, which help them to get access to technologies which can close some of those gaps that I mentioned before.
It can start from something as simple as addressing the major obstacles that women farmers face in accessing irrigation systems, like the FAO SAGA project is doing in Haiti and Senegal. Also, providing climate resilient seeds and financial services like insurance. This not only helps them protect their livelihoods from the impacts of climate change, but also contributes to economic growth.
In the Unjust Climate Report, we looked at policies from a number of countries and found that only 6% of climate policies, they're called nationally determined contributions, even mention women in a significant way. And so there's a huge scope for increasing the attention on gender equality in climate policies, in agricultural policies, and therefore attracting more investment into areas where there is definitely a need to do more. What's really important is to design investments and to increase the amount of money that's going towards projects which not only address these kind of asset and resource gaps, but also try to transform social norms or empower women so that they have more agency to make decisions for their family. Because we know that doing that can have really big benefits in terms of household level incomes, dietary diversity, food security, and resilience.
As individuals and communities, we can also contribute to supporting rural women in the face of climate change by advocating for gender equality, supporting women-led initiatives, and promoting sustainable practices that benefit both people and the planet.
In small island developing countries, in the Pacific, for example, in Palau, FAO has been working to strengthen women's resilience to climate change by looking at the tourism value chain and other agri-food systems value chains and helping women to be more prepared for the kinds of shocks they might face from climate change. And women are a very important part of the workforce. So working to make sure that they have the skills and capacities, assets and resources to prepare for the changing climate is really important.
In the end, it is about climate justice for women, to ensure that they not only survive, but thrive in a changing climate.